Well, let's come in the Word of God this morning, please, to the book of Genesis in the chapter 12. The book of Genesis in the chapter 12, please. With the amount of quality street that Pastor Wilson got over the last few weeks, I'm tempted to start a series on Man United tickets. But I'll wait till after Christmas and the financial side of things are perhaps a bit better. Genesis chapter 12, where just reading from the verse 1 of the chapter, please. Genesis chapter 12 and the verse 1. The Word of God says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the place of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still towards the south. Amen. And we trust that God will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts this morning. The turn of the year can bring feelings of excitement and anticipation. As James has already mentioned, the hope of a fresh start, a new start, a new challenge, new journeys and adventures, whatever it may be. But for some, it may bring those dreaded feelings of anxiety and worry as we leave what we have known of the days that have passed and the year that has passed. We step out into 2024 and we don't know what the year ahead will have and what it will entail. Of course, we know that with every day, but whenever it comes to the last day of the year, that thought becomes a little bit more poignant. The unknown future and the unfamiliar surroundings of coming days can distract and discourage the people of God. And whenever the will of God leads us down a path that we have not passed through before, concerns and doubts can arise at times. And if that sounds like you this morning, if that's the sentiment of a heart this morning, know that you're not the first and you won't be the last to have those feelings and have those concerns. Over the Wednesday nights in this month, remember, we've been looking at Christmas concerns and the concerns that some of those people involved in the Advent record had and how God demonstrated his love and his care to them. And know this morning that the Lord knows how you're feeling and he knows why you're feeling it as well. We looked at Joseph and how he thought about the situation he found himself in. And remember, the angel came to him and said, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife." And child of God, this morning, the Lord knows that you are afraid and concerned, and he knows why you're afraid and concerned. And he will meet the people of God at the point of their need. It was the same concerns that have been felt by the people of God throughout time. But even though God sympathizes with our weaknesses and he does meet us at the point of our need, he doesn't want us to stay there. He encourages us to move along with him in the plans and the purposes that he has for us. And he calls us on to follow him in the things of God and in the will of God. And so as we look ahead to another year this morning, in the plans and in the will of God, I trust will we learn from the lessons of Abraham here in Genesis chapter 12 and trust the Lord whenever our faith is required. Because the Lord here is calling Abram to a new journey, to a new path and a new adventure. This was something that Abram hadn't known before. And this was Abram's first interaction, as it were, with the Lord. Late in chapter 11, we read of Abram and a lot of his family as well, leaving Ur of the Chaldees and starting to head towards the land of Canaan. It says they came to Haran at the end of chapter 11, and they dwelt there. Chapter 12 that we've read this morning is Abram being reminded of the Lord to continue on that journey to the land of Canaan. And so as we think of Abram's new journey this morning, we see the obedience, first of all, that he demonstrates. We've read in verse 4 that Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and he departed out of Haran. At the end of the verse 5, into the land of Canaan they came. So Abram is demonstrating obedience here to the will of God. He's demonstrating obedience to the plans and the purposes of God. Abram had to accept, first of all, that this was the will of God. He acknowledged that this path that he was on was the plans and the purposes of God for him. That God was in control of this whole situation. That Abram wasn't going from Ur of the Chaldees towards the land of Canaan anyway. God didn't see Abram already making this journey and think to himself, well, there's somebody I can use. But the Lord had called him from where he originally was. Abram was just an idol-worshipping pagan living in the Ur of the Chaldees, and God personally and powerfully spoke to him and called him out of that place to head towards the land of Canaan. And the purposes of Abram, the purposes of God through Abram, we read there in the early part of chapter 12, that God would make of him a great nation, that he will be the founding father of the nation of Israel, that he will be the first of the patriarchs of the Hebrew people. And Abram acknowledges this path that he's on as being the will of God. And dear child of God, this morning, as we search for the will of God, that's the first step we come to. When the Lord reveals his will and his purposes and his plans to us, we have to accept them as the will of God. In chapter 11, as we said, Abram had left Ur of the Chaldees. We read that they came to Haran in the verse 31 of chapter 11, and they dwelt there. He had only originally got so far. He had went from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran. He had traveled 600 miles already. There was another 400 miles to go. Most of the journey was already done. But for one reason or another, we read of Abram and his family coming to Haran, and they stay there for a while. And in the beginning of chapter 12, the Lord had said unto Abram, he needed a little reminder. He needed this purpose of God for him to be reiterated. And now that it's been given to him a second time, he now knows that he needs to go on in the things of God. The time has come here for Abram to accept the will of God for him, and he does so with great obedience. Perhaps there's one this morning, and the Lord has pulled back the curtain of the days ahead, and he has made known to you what it is he wants you to do, and where it is he wants you to go, and who it is he wants you to minister to. But for one reason or another, like Abram, you've come to your own little Haran, and you've dwelt there. You've come so far, but for one reason or another, you're not willing to go forward a little further. The believers in Ephesus in the New Testament had a similar problem. They started off as a great people on fire for the Lord. Whenever we read Paul's epistle of Ephesians, we see the hunger and the desire and the love that he has for them and the delight he has in seeing these believers grow in the things of God. Whenever we come to Revelation chapter 2 and the seven letters written to the seven churches, it said of Ephesus that they had left their first love. They had gone so far in their zeal for the Lord, but that zeal and that desire and that passion had dried up. They were just going through the motions now. It was just formality to them. And the first thing the Lord encourages them to do in Revelation chapter 2, he says to them, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Think back to how you were living for the Lord in those days, when the love you had for the Lord was so fervent, when the zeal and the delight you had in the things of God was so visible to each and every one who was around you. Remember what it was like. Remember how it was, and return to that first love. Accept the plans and purposes of the Lord for the year ahead. Believer, will you continue on as the Lord continues to make known his will to you and to me for 2024? Will we continue in the things of God? Perhaps this year or this past season has been a year and a season of dwelling in Haran. Will we move on? Will we be reminded of the Lord, of what it is he wants us to do and continue on in the things of God? Abram accepts this obedience, and we also see the action that he demonstrates in obedience. Whenever Abram here meets with the Lord, and whenever the Lord speaks to Abram, it's not enough for Abram just to think, just to sit back and think to himself, isn't it great that God wants to use me? Abram doesn't spend this time just thinking about what it is God has told him to do or thinking about what it all might entail. Abram here isn't someone who's just encouraged that God has spoken to him and just encouraged that God wants to use him, but he is involved himself. He's not just a hearer of the word, as we would say, but he's a doer of it as well. Whenever the Lord makes clear again to Abram what he wants him to do, when the Lord reiterates to Abram what he wants him to do, verse 4 tells us he departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Again, there's plenty of times where the Lord makes known to us what he wants us to do, and we can spend a good few days just rejoicing in the fact that God has made it clear. And perhaps we're more excited at the fact that we've been given knowledge than the fact we've been given a task. Whenever we spend those days and those weeks, perhaps even months, in confusion and seeking clarity about the will of God and wanting to know what the Lord wants us to do and again where he wants us to go, that moment where the Lord makes it clear, we can spend too much time perhaps just sitting and rejoicing in the fact that we now know what's happening, rather than stepping forward and actually going through with the plans and the purposes of God. Remember James in his first chapter of his letter talks about being a doer of the word as well, and not just being hearers only. He talks about those who are hearers of the word as those who look in a mirror and turn away and immediately forget what it was they were looking at. But he says in verse 25 of chapter 1 of James, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I wonder, child of God, again, as we think of the year that has passed, has there been blessing that's been missed out on through that lack of deed? Has there been blessing of the Lord missed out on through that lack of action? And as much as you rejoice in God making known what it is he wants us to do, and again, we give thanks to God for making known to us what he wants us to do, will we actually put that thought into action? For Abram, this wasn't just a thought from the Lord, but it was a thing for the Lord as well. And he demonstrates his obedience and his acceptance and in his action in the will and the purposes of God. But note as well the age of Abram's obedience here. Verse 4, again, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Here's a man who's 75 years old, and yet he is still considered in the will of God. Yet still God has a purpose for him. And even though part of those added years, if it was indeed years, we don't know for sure how long Abram dwelt in Haran, however long that plan was delayed through Abram's somewhat disobedience, God still seeks his involvement. Abram tried to kick the can down the road. He tried to have this on pause for a little while. But even with that, God still wants to use him. God still chooses to use him because God's purposes would not be hindered. God was going to use Abram, even in this old age. Again, thinking of our Christmas concerns in December, remember God used Zacharias and Elizabeth in their old age to bring about the birth of John the Baptist. And how even in those older ages, even in those older periods of life, even in those times where, even for those of us not as old this morning, who do delay the purposes and the plans of God, how he still chooses to use you and he still chooses to use me. How there is still something for you and I to do for the Lord. I wonder, is there again a believer here, and the Lord has made known what he wants you to do, but for a season, perhaps even this past year, perhaps even longer, it has been a delay. And the old devil's got into your head that the Lord doesn't want to use you anymore. Because so much time has passed. Because the frailties of life have crept in. And how can the Lord use someone like you? Be encouraged, believer. If the Lord calls you, And if the Lord lays that burden upon you to serve him in whatever way he calls for you to serve him, in whatever area he has for you to live for him, go on in the strength of the Lord. Remember Jonah, who didn't just try to delay the purpose of God, but tried to run away completely from the purposes of God. And he ran the complete opposite direction of Nineveh. He got to Tarshish, he got on the boat, he got into the sea, and the storm came, he got into the whale, he got onto the dry ground eventually. And then in verse 1 of Jonah 3, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Child of God, this morning, whenever we feel the Lord, whenever we do delay for so long, and we start to wonder, have we thwarted the purposes of God? Aren't we glad the Lord comes to us that second time? That in his goodness and in his care and in his grace that he shows towards us, he knows our weakness. He knows, as the psalmist says, that we are but dust. He meets us at the point of our need. That he is long-suffering and he is patient with you and patient with me. Such a gracious God we have this morning as we think of the age of Abram's obedience here. 75 years old, and the Lord still wants to use him. Certainly a barrier from man's perspective. I doubt there's many Bible colleges that would accept a 75-year-old student who seeks to enter the ministry and seeks to serve the Lord. But here, whenever it comes to the will of God, that barrier from man's perspective is irrelevant, because God had a part for him to play. There's many barriers that the people of God can put in front of themselves whenever it comes to serving the Lord. Not through a heart of not wanting to serve, not looking for excuses, but genuine concerns that the hearts of the people of God can have as to why they cannot be used of the Lord. And again, the devil loves to use an insecure child of God. Think of the parable that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 20 of the man looking for servants in the vineyard. He goes out early in the morning, as soon as the sun has risen, even before that, and he finds laborers to serve in the vineyard. He goes out at the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, even the 11th hour as well. And each and every time he says to those who are standing by, go and work in the vineyard. Even as the day is passing, even as the hour of the evening is drawing closer, still he has a part for them to play. Still he has a role for them. Again, child of God, whatever that supposed barrier may be, will you trust that the Lord will overcome it? Will you trust that the Lord will override that situation? That his power and his strength are infinite? That we have such a wonderful pool of resources? Remember what Paul said again in Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Child of God, this morning, if the Lord is at work for you, he'll equip you for it. He'll empower you for it. Regardless of how weak you seem for it, regardless of how up to the task you and I may seem to be for it, how the Lord steps in. And how, as Paul even said in 1 Corinthians, God uses the weak things of the world to confound the things that are strong and the things that are mighty. As we think of Abram's obedience this morning, will we follow through with that obedience in accepting the will of God and also putting that into action? See Abram's obedience here, but we also see in some way disobedience on Abram's part as well. Verse 4, again, we read, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And if we know anything about the life of Lot, we know that these are dangerous and uncomfortable words to read. As we look at the life of Lot from chapter 12 onwards, we see that Lot's life was nothing but a hindrance, nothing but a distraction to the plans and purposes of Abram. Lot's accompaniment here with Abraham would prove it to be a great source of pain and a great source of difficulty. When we think of the initial call that the Lord gives to Abram in the verse 1, it says, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house onto a land that I will show thee. And if that call is so particular and so personal to Abraham, then it just means Abraham. Sarah as well, obviously, with Sarah being his wife, but it just means him. This was just for Abraham. This call didn't involve Lot. The Lord didn't tell Abram to bring the whole family down. as they had originally done. Abram starts heading out towards the Ur of the Chaldees. Whether he invited Terah, whether he invited his father and Lot as well, we don't know, but they seem to come on the journey too. They come to Haran. Abram's father dies in Haran, and as Abram leaves Haran, he brings Lot with him. And Abram doesn't cut this tie that God has asked him to leave behind. And again, as we know with what is recorded of Lot in the Word of God, that was a bad call. That was a bad judgment. Lot wasn't in himself a necessarily sinful burden, but it wasn't going to be beneficial to Abram. Whenever we think of what Paul tells the believers in 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 10, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Those things that even aren't necessarily sinful in themselves can be a hindrance if they take the place of God, if they distract us from the things of God. And whenever there's such a particular call of the Lord, again, when the Lord makes it so clear and so plain that there's things he wants us to bring with us and there's things he wants us to leave behind, will we obey? Will we again have complete obedience in that command of the Lord? Is there something that God wants you and wants me to leave behind in 2023? Again, those things that aren't necessarily sinful in themselves, even if it is just to put a pause on it for a season or to leave it behind completely. Is there something that either is a distraction or the Lord knows could be a distraction in the days ahead, and he's asking you just to hold it back, just to leave that hindrance behind and to follow through in the Lord? This act of disobedience from Abraham would have difficult consequences to him. Again, it was a costly decision. We come to chapter 13. And in chapter 13 is where Abram and Lot separate. They have that dispute as to the land that they currently have and how they both have so much goods that the land can't sustain the two of them. And Abram graciously says to Lot, look, you choose what you want and I'll take the rest. And remember, Lot just looked and he saw the plains of Jordan and he saw the plains of Sodom. And that's where he wanted to go. And Lot headed out that direction. Chapter 13 brings division. Chapter 14 brings war. Remember, in chapter 14, Lot is caught up in a Confederate army that's overrun by another Confederate army. Lot is taken captive. Abram has to use some of his resources to try and rescue back Lot and to rescue back the people of Sodom as well. And then, of course, into chapter 19, Lot finds himself at the gate of Sodom. And only for the grace of God, he would have been caught up in that judgment. And even after he's delivered, we read of that grotesque act with him and his daughters at the end of chapter 19. What a hindrance Lot was. What a disaster of a life. What a disaster of a testimony. Of course, we can think of this distraction not just from Abram's perspective, but if Lot had stayed in Haran, how much less hassle of a life would he have had? Not just for Abram's sake, but for Lot's sake. This call was just as personal to Abram as the Lord made it out to be. Isn't there times, believer, where we have to learn the hard way that as for God, his way is perfect, that his thoughts are not our thoughts, that his ways are not our ways? For as high as the heavens are above the earth, greater are his ways than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. Is there that disobedience that's still in the heart that will come with us in 2024, or will we be careful to deal with it now before it become an even greater disaster? Not just though this hindrance that's concealed here in Lot, but the company that Abram brings from Haran as well is a bit of a distraction. If he hadn't dwelt in Haran, he wouldn't have gathered all these goods. We read in the verse 5, Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. Whenever they dwelt in Haran, obviously they had great financial success. And then into chapter 13 is where, again, we see that cause of division where they've gathered so much that now it's too much for them. And had they not dwelt in Haran, had they just kept going on towards the land of Canaan, and all these unnecessary distractions wouldn't have been a burden. And they gained a lot in Haran that they didn't need to gain, and it caused this sense of contention. Again, there was that thing that was weighing them down, this thing that was slowing them down, this thing that was causing them grief and causing them unnecessary pain. And with the hymn writer, as Abraham looks at this decision to bring Lot, he thinks to himself, oh, what peace that I have forfeited, and oh, what needless pain I've borne. The writer in Hebrews chapter 12 tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Again, believer, is there something that's weighing you down? Is there something that's holding you back? Is there a weight that the Lord is asking you to leave aside and to continue on running the race that is set before us? We've seen Abram's obedience. We've seen Abram's disobedience as well, but through it all we see God's faithfulness. Look at what it says in chapter 6, or in verse 6 rather. And Abraham passed through the land onto the place of Shechem, onto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. As Abraham makes his journey towards the land of Canaan, he gets there and he sees that the land is occupied. Perhaps Abraham thought in his mind that as he leaves Ur of the Chaldees, there's just an open plain waiting for him. But once he gets to the borders, he sees that there's people there. Again, here's another barrier from man's perspective in the plans of God. This promised land that God had promised he would give to him is already occupied. And this year perhaps has taught a dear child of God that the promises of God aren't always easy to obtain. That the things he has assured us of, those prayers that he has assured us he will answer, aren't always easily given. That those prayers aren't always quickly answered from our perspective. That God sometimes delays those answers to prayer from our point of view. That the full blessing of God isn't an easy thing, that it's not something that's inherited overnight. There's many obstacles in the way. This is the first of many for Abram. It's the first of many for the people of Israel. Remember, whenever the spies are sent to scout the land, and they all come back and they mention the giants, and they mention all the problems that are there. Only two of them said they were well able to overcome. But the rest of the nation was so focused on everything that stood between them and their answer to prayer, and they forfeited the great blessing that God had promised to them. Believer, this morning, whenever we look ahead to 2024, again, if the Lord tarries, as we look ahead to what the Lord has purposed and planned for us, as we look ahead to what the Lord has revealed he wants us to do, what is it that we see? Do you see those barriers? Do you see, as it were, the land occupied? Do you see, as it were, no possible logical reason as to why God is able to answer prayer, as to why God is able to do that thing he has said he is able to do? Oh, Abram could have been defeated here. Abram could have turned back and went back to Ur of the Chaldees and said, what a waste of a journey. But as he sees the Canaanite in the land, God quickly assures him here in the verse 7, that the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. God assures him that even though it seems impossible now, that the land is just as good as his. That the blessing is just as good as his. That the answer is just as answered now as it will be in the days to come. See, dear child of God, this morning, that his will, that his plans and his purposes will always prevail. However illogical it looks, however difficult it seems, that God's faithfulness will always override the troubles and the trials and the difficulties that come across our pathway. That he who knows the end from the beginning will see it through. And God demonstrated his faithfulness to Abraham in such a way that Abram trusted in the Lord. Paul talks about Abram in Romans chapter 4, and he says of Abram being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. What a wonderful trust to have in the Lord. Again, as we look ahead to the days that are before us, are we fully persuaded that what the Lord has promised, he is able to perform? That where he has led us to, that what he is leading us to, he is well able to lead us through as well, that he is well able to help us, to undertake for us, and to equip us for every good work. Of course, Abraham responds with faithfulness to the Lord as well. We read of Abraham building this altar here. Again, he builds another altar in the verse 8. In between Bethel and Hai here, as he stays here for this little while to build the altar on the mountain on the east of Bethel, and he calls upon the name of the Lord. See, as God again speaks to Abram here, he doesn't run straight into the blessing. He doesn't rush ahead and just claim the good things that God has assured him of, but he takes this precious time to worship the Lord and to thank the Lord for his faithfulness and for his strength and for his might. Whenever the Lord answers prayer, whenever the Lord deals with us in such a wonderful way, do we take that time to worship him? Do we take that time to praise him? Remember the lepers that Christ healed and only one of them came back. And Christ had to ask, where are the nine? Where are the nine? Psalm 116 in the verse 17 says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I wonder, believers, your first reaction to praise him. Is your first reaction to thank him before we step out into the things of God? Abram takes that time to worship and then he moves on. Verse 9 tells us that Abram journeyed, going on still towards the south. Abram doesn't delay the journey again here. He doesn't come to another little Haran and stay there. But he knows that there's a work to be done. He knows that there's promises to be fulfilled. He knows there's blessings to inherit. And he continues on in the things of God. Again, as we look ahead, and with this we close this morning, are you and I ready to inherit the full blessing that God has prepared for his people? Are we ready to perform the work that Christ has laid upon our hearts? Are we ready to do what the Lord asks for us to do? Again, in Romans chapter 4, Paul, speaking of Abraham, said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Oh, how great it would be if at this time next year, we as a church, even as individuals, would be able to say we staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but were strong in faith and gave glory to God. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. God and our Father, we give thanks for your word this morning. We pray you will write it and bless it upon each and every heart. Father, you know what it is you've laid upon our hearts. You know the work that you have called us to do. You know the task that you have assigned to us. So, Father, we pray that we would demonstrate that obedience, demonstrate that desire to serve thee, and to fulfill the work that you've called for us to do, and to know great help from God in the days ahead. Father, just be with us even for the rest of this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just sing as we bring this part of the meeting to a close. It's not in the Songs of Victory. The words will just be on the screen, standing at the portal of the opening year. Words of comfort meet us, hushing every fear. The tune should be familiar to you. We'll stand together as we sing once again. Father, we give thanks that we have no need to fear of the year ahead, for we have such a great God accompanying us. Father, as we look ahead, may we attempt great things for God and expect great things from him. Father, we just pray now you'll be with those who must leave as we gather around the table again, draw near to us, and bring us back to Calvary, for we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen.